This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9.
And good morning and welcome to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9. We have a very, very special show for you today. It's the Men's Health Forum as we come to the end of Men's Health Week. My co-host this morning is Brian Meir from Male Health Victoria. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning, Mecca. Well, thanks.
Pretty good. It's going to be a big show, and for those of you who are wondering why we didn't have the news this morning, it's because we're going to make the news today. So we have a very big show. Can you, first off, Brian, tell me a little bit about Male Health Victoria? It's an organisation a lot of us have heard the name of, but give us a quick background on what it's about.
Okay, Male Health Victoria originated almost exactly 2 years ago. It came about because a guy called Rob Kosh, who is a men's and parenting educator at Greater Dandenong Community Health, had realised the National Male Health Policy had come out. The Victorian Men's Health Strategy was about to come out, and it lasted a month, might it? And yet in his area, men's groups and men's health action was declining and some were closing. And he put out an SOS call, and I was one of the first people who put up my hand. And as I'd then recently sold my retail business, I was ready, willing and available. And so Male Health Victoria is the peak body promoting the health and well-being of our men and boys. And we use the term male because we want it to be clear it's not just men's health, but what are boys but our men to be, and what are men who are but our boys who have been. And it's all interrelated.
Oh, so, I like that. Yeah. I like that. It's good.
Yeah. So that's our job. We are a not-for-profit community association, currently unfunded, and doing the best we can and still kicking quite a few goals despite not having any reliable source of funding other than membership fees. We're now up to about 85 members, about a mix of organisations and individuals.
Fantastic. What a great initiative. And today's program, for those who are listening, I want to make particular thanks to Foundation 49, Men's Health, and the Men of Malvern Men's Health Community Grant 2013, and of course Beyond Blue for supporting us in enabling us to do this program. Now, our first guest is Malcolm Campbell, and Malcolm Campbell is from Team Melbourne, and Team Melbourne's an umbrella group. It comprises clubs and individuals that are involved in Melbourne's queer sports and recreation scene. And it is your one-stop shop for information about gay and lesbian sport in Victoria. And of course, it is a member of the Gay and Lesbian International Sports Association, GLISA. Oh, I like that. And the Federation of Gay Games. Good morning, Malcolm. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
A pleasure. So, what role do you think sport plays in our general health and well-being, and specifically, obviously, about men?
It helps us all have healthy lifestyles. The traditional view of gay men, anyway, is that we're all out partying or things like that. But Team Melbourne is there to encourage healthy lifestyles amongst our community, definitely. And we encourage people to join clubs for health and fitness, but also for socialising as well. Some people that join clubs, they like the socialising more than the health aspect, but we're certainly out there encouraging healthy lifestyles in the community.
Yeah, I can say, is it a, you know, with gay guys and them feeling included, you know, being involved in sport? I mean, obviously, you know, there are specifically gay teams, but you don't have to be in a gay team, of course. So, I mean, that issue of inclusion.
Yes, yeah, it is, because younger gay men or men that have been in the closet come out and they feel more accepted being part of a gay team. And some of the gay teams, they play in gay leagues or straight leagues, and they are accepted in their gay team as part of the straight league. I know that, for example, the rugby players and the swimmers and that, they all play in straight or compete in straight leagues, and they're accepted, and it's good.
I mean, Brian, I suppose, you know, as a focus for men's health, I mean, sport is very important, isn't it?
Look, I would agree with that. I was going to ask Malcolm, though, what about those men who don't have that external competitiveness in them, the men who perhaps are more individual, more introverted? Where does sport fit into their lives?
Well, it's not all about competition. It's some of it's just about health and well-being and fitness. And so some people in some of the clubs, they don't compete. They just go along to get a bit fitter. But there are other organisations under the Team Melbourne umbrella that are less competitive. For example, the Nomads. They are an outdoors group that do walking and other social functions that are less competitive and more recreational. And there's also the Motor Friends, a car enthusiasts, and there's very little exercise involved with them, but they're a social group that come under our sport and recreation umbrella.
And Ben Cranks would be good for the cyclists, wouldn't it? Because I know they range from quite arduous sort of activities to the less arduous.
That's right, that's right.
And, of course, there's always, with sport, there's being a spectator too.
That's right.
And, you know, getting a group together and doing that. I suppose, you know, sport, it takes time, but an umbrella group like Team Melbourne, it must be very rewarding seeing, you know, all these guys actually devoted to, you know, to a broad purpose, but to the one purpose.
Yes, that's right. And we also cover women as well. I know this is Men's Health Week we're talking about, but we also encourage women's involvement in sport and recreation. And that's a harder topic than men, so that's for another day.
I mean, what do you see, you know, for the future? We're all very time poor.
Hmm.
So, you know, to improve your health by getting involved in sport, or, you know, no matter what level it's at, managing that time is difficult, but it's about making the time, isn't it?
That's right. Busy people make time.
Yeah.
But I know that I'm involved in quite a few sports, and they have certain times where you get together or you train or whatever. And I just treat it like, in my busy career, I have a busy job and I have appointments and meetings. I just treat it like another appointment, and I know I've got to be somewhere at a certain time.
Yeah.
And it makes you do it. When you've got a coach or somebody who's waiting there to train you, it makes you go. If I didn't have that, I probably wouldn't exercise because I'd be too lazy. But if you've got something you're committed to, then, yeah, you do it and you go.
We've got a great little cartoon about that, which shows a doctor interviewing a guy, and the doctor says, which would you prefer, planning to put an hour of activity into your day or being dead 24 hours a day?
We know which one we choose.
The hour of activity.
Yes.
Now, if people want to get in contact with Teen Melbourne, how do they do that?
We have our website, www.teammelbourne.org.au.
Great. Look, I think it's fantastic, an umbrella group like this that, you know, it's very inclusive, and it's not just about men's health.
No.
Women as well. So, look, thanks very much for giving your time to come in on a Saturday morning. We appreciate it, and wish you well with the future with Team Melbourne.
Thank you very much.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Brian Meir from Men's Health Victoria. Coming up next, we're going to be speaking with Professor Doug Lording from Foundation 41 and Andrology Australia.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Brian Meir from Male Health Victoria. If you want to send us a message, 0427 Joy 949, 1300 Joy 949, email onair@joy.org.au, or if you're a twit, @SatMagJoy 949. Now, our next guest is Professor Doug Lording from Foundation 49. I think before I said 41, so I apologise for that. And Andrology Australia. And first of all, I want to say thank you so much for your support in enabling us to put this program to air. It's very, very important. It's an important issue, so thank you for that.
It's a pleasure, Macca. And I think congratulations are due to Joy FM for making such a strong contribution to men's health this week.
And look, Men's Health Week is really, really important. And Look, give us a brief description of what Foundation 49 is, and also the Men of Melbourne Men's Health Community Grant, because I think our listeners would be really interested in that.
Foundation 49 is an entity within Cabrini Hospital. It's a health promotion entity which really is trying to reduce the number of preventable deaths in men. It's based on the premise that if men go and see a doctor and have a checkup, that conditions will be picked up, the outcome of which can be nipped in the bud. Doing this through general health promotion and education of men. So, you know, it's taking an important role in the community, and the grants that have been set up by Foundation 49 this week have enabled about 27 communities to run events to promote various health issues to men. The Men of Melbourne, I'm glad you asked about that, because I'm on the Foundation 49 and the Andrology Australia boards, but I've also started a community group, the Men of Melbourne. These are blokes from my local area who have come together with the purpose of supporting projects that encourage the health and welfare of men. And one of those projects that we've taken on was to raise the money to support those 27 community grants. We've done some health promotion in that Melbourne area this week during Men's Health Week, and we've got some other projects on the go.
What a great initiative. I mean, yeah. Fantastic. And, of course, Foundation 49 is in the memory of Tony Hitchin. He was a journalist and formerly editor at the Herald and Weekly Times. He did die from a rare form of cancer, but before that he tried to take every opportunity to raise awareness around men's health and encourage them to have more regular checkups. And this is the challenge, isn't it, is getting men to go to the doctor.
Look, every day in my medical practice I see men that have got conditions that could have been picked up 5 or 10 years before. If I could just highlight one condition, for instance, the symptom of erectile dysfunction. Erectile dysfunction affects at least a third of men over the age of 40. And it's commonly linked to all the factors that cause heart disease. And men who develop erectile dysfunction are about 3 times more likely to have a coronary artery event in the next 5 years compared to someone whose penis is functioning normally. It's a window to the circulation. So we so often see men who have erectile dysfunction go to ground, they withdraw from sexual relationships, they don't see anyone about it, they're embarrassed, intimidated by what might ahead, or they're abused by some of those dodgy clinics that you see advertising around the place. It's really important for blokes that have erectile dysfunction to go and talk to a doctor
and to actually realise that this is a sign perhaps of something else as well, that, you know, this is you know, a big warning board, hey guys, if you can't get it up, you need to go to the doctor and get that checked.
It's one of the most important community health messages in this whole sort of andrology men's health area.
Now, Andrology Australia, which is actually known as the Australian Centre of Excellence in Male Reproductive Health, the Australian Government Department of Health and Ageing helped establish it in 2000, and it's administered by the Monash Institute of Medical Research. So I must admit, when I saw the name and I'm thinking, andrology.
Yeah. Well, andrology is sort of the study of male reproductive health. You know, it's a discipline now within medicine that's well recognised. There are international societies of andrology. It cuts across endocrinology and urology and mental health and branches out into all the ramifications into cardiac medicine and so on. But it's predominantly based around male reproductive medicine.
If you think of gynaecology for women, you think of andrology for men.
Yeah.
Similar, except we don't operate. Well, keep out of the operating theatre.
Yep.
It's a good thing.
So, I mean, why do you think it is so difficult for men, you know, if they're feeling well, obviously there's less desire for them to go to the doctor, but even when they're not feeling well, what do you think it is, Professor Lording, that actually stops men from going to the doctor? What are they afraid? I mean, obviously they're afraid of a diagnosis, but perhaps they don't realise the time frame is so important here.
Yeah, it's a really complicated question to answer in a moment, but don't you know that we're invincible?
I believe,
you know,
so.
We're bulletproof.
Yeah. We're not.
And, you know, if something goes wrong, we've been taught to just get your head down and go on with it. Women have babies, they have pap smears, they have breast examinations. They're used to going to the doctor, and those sort of examinations then lead on to more general experiences, more general examinations. But the culture in men is not to do so. They also most of them find it difficult, I think, to access the medical system the way it's generally been set up. You know, they don't like sitting in waiting rooms for an hour or two during the day.
I reckon it's the magazines.
And the old magazines, yep. You know, we do need to pay attention to that, but it's a cultural thing more than anything. But look, I think things are changing. There's a lot of organisations that have been, and the Australian government has developed a men's health policy. The Victorian government has a men's health policy. There's a lot of work being done to try and flesh out the issues that relate to men and access to the medical system, and to encourage men to understand that their bodies are at least as important as their cars, and they get their cars serviced on a regular basis. They should look at their body in a similar sort of way.
I think, you know, things like the men's shed, for example, has been a really good initiative to get guys around, you know, talking, and not necessarily about these issues, but it is difficult, isn't it, to, you know, to encourage men to do this. And I mean, how, as a general rule, how often do you think men should be going to the doctor for a general health check? Is it every 12 months? Is it every 2 years? You know, when there's nothing sort of apparent that's happening to them, should it every 12 months?
Well, I think if you're over 40, I think you should have a checkup every 12 months or thereabouts. I think for the younger blokes, they do need a checkup from time to time, but if they're healthy and well, less frequently. It raises another really important issue. Young men are often underdeveloped and don't know it, or they're fearful of the fact that they're underdeveloped and they're perfectly normal. And no one ever looks at their genitals. No one examines the genitals of a 16 or 18-year-old or a 23-year-old these days to check and make sure they're okay. So we fail to diagnose a lot of men who are hypogonadal, their testicles haven't developed, and we fail to have the opportunity to allay the anxiety of so many men who just don't know what normal is and who think that they're underdeveloped. So those guys, apart from the drug and alcohol issues and mental health things, there's a lot to be gained from having a proper checkup every so often.
I think the other thing, when I was in community health in the late 70s, I was proud that we brought in breast self-examination for women, and look how well that's doing now. Now I reflect, if we'd brought in testicular self-examination for young men, because it's exactly the same routine, under a warm shower, relax, have a feel, if there's something feels wrong or if there's pain, go and see the doctor straight away. How many men would have been saved from spreading of cancer?
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Yeah, well, it's not as common a cancer as breast cancer, but I guess most guys are handling their genitals from time to time. Mm. Most of the people I know have a bit of a go down there every now and then. But I think that they don't actually know what's normal. Mm. You know, Andrology Australia's got some nice material on their website and written material about, you know, understanding your body and what's normal. I think a lot of guys don't appreciate. I know of cases where boys have known that their testicle, young men have known their testicles are getting bigger, or one's getting bigger, but just don't appreciate the importance of it. So testicles are easy to examine, and if you notice that they're discrepant, definitely give someone a call.
And I mean, this is, you know, it's you know, for gay men and straight men, I suppose there is a difference. It's reasonable to say that gay men probably handle more genitals than straight men, but that even there, they may not recognise the signs. They may not actually understand, as you say, what is normal. And so having a checkup, and, you know, particularly, you know, with a GP or with a health service that actually understands these issues and deals with them, you know, rather than, you know, as you say, some of these cranks that are out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of misinformation, as you know.
I mean, what do you see as the biggest challenge in men's health for the future? I mean, we've made some advances. Government is doing some work. There's, my view is, there's probably not enough being done, but education is the key. But what do you see as the biggest challenge for the next couple of years?
I don't see that there's just one issue. I think it's a continuation of what's happening at the moment. There is a groundswell of understanding about men's health and the need for men to be checked up. I think that one fundamental principle, you know, educating men to understand that the maintenance of their body is important and have it checked out from time to time. And I don't think there's a universal way of doing that. Men access information in different ways, and I think it's good to see so many organisations involved in trying to promote men's everyone's health. I mean, there is a bit of a danger in that, that we lack a little bit of coordination, but nevertheless, it's good to see such a strong interest. And I think, like people listening to a show like this, your 2 hours today, that's going to enlighten quite a few men, I'm sure, about having a look at and having a closer look at themselves and going and having a checkup.
Well, if nothing else, next time they have a shower, if they have a bit of a feel around and see that, if their testicles are, sensitive or there's some bumps on them or anything like that, go to the doctor.
Yeah, if they're peanuts, small, they need a checkup. If one's bigger than the other, they need to see someone about it.
Cool. Look, I want to thank you so much for giving your time today and also, again, acknowledge Foundation 49, Men's Health and the Men of Malvern, Men's Health Community Grant 2013. I think that is a fantastic initiative.
Yep.
And I congratulate you and the other Men of Malvern for doing that. And, of course, the website that people can go to get some more information on these issues.
Well, Foundation 49 is f49.com.au, andrologyaustralia.org.au. And the Men of Malvern are currently building their website. In about 2 or 3 weeks' time, there'll be something to go. But that's not an education website. It's more promotion of what we're doing. Just on that Men of Malvern thing, it'd be great just as men share.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.